Welcome to Healthier You by Vanderbilt Health and Wellness, a podcast to help Vanderbilt faculty and staff live their healthiest lives.
This is Julie Hurst. I'm a nurse practitioner in the Occupational Health Department and here today to discuss campus safety for employees with Patrick Conwell, major of the campus precinct and Vanderbilt University Public Safety. I'm so glad to have our listeners here with us today, especially those that are new to campus. Our goal is to provide you with some local data as well as some tips to navigate this bustling campus with safety in mind. Welcome, Patrick, and thank you for giving your time to chat with us today about this important topic.
No, thank you for having me.
We're just going to start with some basics today and then just move into some more specific safety topics. So we'll just jump right in.
Perfect.
So, Patrick, what advice would you give employees right now, just leaving, you know, entering and leaving campus, like to maintain their safety to and from work, whether, you know, they're walking, biking, driving, any of those things?
Yeah, no, great question. So first, just a little bit off topic, I'll talk about the construction piece, specifically
yes.
the road construction, the road closures that we've seen. So first of all, I fully recognize that it's a very big hassle, and it's not convenient for anyone right now to get around the campus. You know, we work very diligently to make the traffic as least bad as we can. So I'm not going to say it's good. I fully recognize it's not good, but we work very diligently to try to make traffic as least bad as we can around the campus. So I will just preface with
yes.
that real quick.
And construction isn't forever.
It feels like it, right? But it's not. It's not. But that leads into the safety component. So I think
yes.
I've got kind of one general statement on that and then one specific statement on that. So the general statement is just understanding that we have all this construction on campus, that everyone be patient and try to work together and navigate as best as we can. So just recognizing that we value all of those different types of transportation and we want everyone to be safe. So just slow down, take a little bit of extra time. You know, if it takes you an extra 90 seconds to get through an intersection safely versus, you know, it's going to take you 4 hours to have a police report done and go to the hospital and all these other things. So just slow down a little bit and make sure that we're getting there safely.
It's excellent.
Statistically, when we talk about pedestrians specifically, so pedestrians, bicycles, scooters, versus a vehicle, that the number one cause by a pretty significant margin is when a driver is turning left at an intersection mm-hmm. and there's a pedestrian that's crossing the street to the driver's left. If you think about your vehicle, there's a pillar that's right there and it's hard to see. So it's just, there's
yes.
like a physical barrier to your vision to your left. And that's the number one cause. When we see a pedestrian that was struck by a vehicle, it was a driver that was turning left.
Isn't that interesting?
It is. So for pedestrians and drivers, I ask if you're a pedestrian, you see a driver making a left turn, or if you're a driver and you're making a left turn, is to take that extra second to look, take a second glance.
Be more cautious.
Absolutely. Just confirm that there's not someone that's just happened to be lined up in your pillar where you can't see them.
So. I feel like I've almost done that. Like, and just in that last second, like seeing that flash of something moving and then stopped again and seeing someone come into my view.
Oh, I've spent a lot of time driving on this campus and I've had it happen to me. I remember distinctly one specific incident, and there was a lady walking. It's exactly the scenario I described. I was making a left and she was walking. She was perfectly lined up. And the only reason I saw her, it was in the winter and she was wearing a scarf, and I saw the scarf flutter out into my vision
wow.
from behind the pillar. And that's the only way that I saw her. So that was an important lesson for me.
Yes.
Like I need to, even myself, need to take the time to look and make sure that there's not someone hidden where I can't see them.
Right. And then just confirmed by the data that you were seeing with, you know, what was happening with these accidents around campus.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I think that's great advice. You know, I just know myself walking in, I'm always kind of scanning to sort of see what's going on in the environment and just like being aware and really paying attention to the folks that are trying to guide us safely across these intersections.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that point, that we do have, it's a contracted company, but we do have a medium-sized team, I'll say, of contractors that are out there every morning and every afternoon, especially around the construction sites to help guide traffic and,
yes.
To your point, to help pedestrians work through those very busy intersections.
Yes, yes. They do a great job, too.
Thank you.
So kind of building on that, if someone does witness like an accident, whether it be a vehicle versus pedestrian or just someone kind of tripping over a curb and falling, which is often sometimes things that we see in occupational health, what would you say is the best way to assist them in those circumstances?
Yeah. You know, there's several facets to that question. The immediate thing that comes to mind is medical support. So I'm going to say most of your listeners, I'm going to make an assumption here, but I would say most of your listeners probably know more about medicine than me or my officers do. So I'll leave that piece to...
Got the medical center there.
Correct. Yeah. So I'll leave that piece to them. You know, as far as, we can stop bleeding and keep airways going, but that's about Certainly. The extent of our expertise on that. Leaving that piece to the experts there. So talking about from my perspective as a police officer, I think the two things that would be most immediately helpful would be, one, I'm going to use this term, it's kind of an industry term, but scene management. So just helping to the best of your ability to help keep the scene and the victim as calm as we can, right? And number two, and this sounds simple, but I've done this job for a long time, call and report it to the police department. So it's very frequent that we'll find out, and whatever it is, could be anything. We're talking about accidents, but after the fact, we'll find out, maybe five people saw it, but zero of them called and reported it.
So, or maybe jumped in to just calm the person down or just help, and then they forget. Everybody is so involved in that.
Yeah.
So maybe if you're pressed for time, that could be your thing that you do to help.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like just call and report it.
100%. And I think that it's human nature, right? So we've probably all heard this term bystander effect. So I think that's in play. But I think specifically when we talk about the med center, we have a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge about treating patients. So I'm making another assumption here, but if I'm a medical staff member and I see someone that gets hurt, my first thought would be is I'm going to go help that person, but not necessarily that I should report it.
Right.
So just having someone that can actually report that to the police department would really be a huge step.
Well, and there's probably, a lot of folks that are walking that are like, well, I'm not a medical person. And so, there's tons around here. Somebody else is going to help this situation. But then if they do report, they can feel like they're a part and they have something that they can add to the situation, even though they may not be able to tend to them and provide first aid.
100%. And I'll say I would rather my dispatch center receive 10 duplicate phone calls than to receive zero.
Yes. Wow. I think that's great. So then how about, when an employee encounters people walking on campus that could be a threat or have ill intent? Do you have, maybe just some data that could inform us on the incidence of physical assault, theft, sexual assault that may be reported around campus? And kind of how often do we see folks that are encountering this sort of situation?
Sure, yeah. So when we talk about sexual assault versus theft, that's a pretty big range of, impact to the community. So the good news is that at Vanderbilt, either between the med center and the university, is that when we look at those, I'm gonna use the term more serious offenses, is that we don't see them that often. I can't say that they never happen. That would be ideal, but that it's not frequent. It's rare. And I will take this moment to plug our annual security report that's on our website, and anyone can go and look at that, and they can see all the different stats, and it's broken down. And it includes both the university and the med center.
Excellent.
But if you go to we're about to get a new website, so this address may change if you're listening to this in the future. But currently today, it's police.vanderbilt.edu.
Perfect.
Yeah, and so you can look at all those stats. So back to my point is when we look at things, the more serious crimes, we don't see them very frequently at Vanderbilt. However, when we look at things like theft or assault, which I'll touch on here in just a little more detail in a second, if we ignore the common crimes that we would expect on a college campus, such as underage drinking, for example, if we set those to the side, by far the most common issue or crime that we see at Vanderbilt is theft. And that's on both sides of the house, university and medical center. So when we think about the number one crime that we experience at Vanderbilt, it's theft. And most of those thefts, a pretty wide margin of those thefts, are what we would call thefts of opportunity. So it's someone that leaves their wallet sitting out or their laptop sitting out, and they go to the restroom and come back, and then their item's gone. Right.
Indeed.
In an ideal world, that wouldn't happen. Right. We would prevent that from happening. However, I do think that safety, security, law enforcement. It's a team effort between the police department and the community. It's very unfortunate, so I'm not justifying it, but even areas in which you may feel like your item may be safe, like a break room inside the hospital, we're finding that items are being stolen from those areas in which they should be safe and you should be allowed to leave your item. So looking at thefts and making sure that all of our items are locked up to the best that we can.
Right. Right. Police your belongings.
Yes.
Quote, unquote.
Yeah. That would be very helpful.
Yes.
And I want to talk about assaults because I think it's a little unique for us. So one of the things that we do at Vanderbilt is we try very hard to make sure that our stats represent what's actually happening. And I'm going to give you an example. So if you have a patient that maybe they're under anesthesia, and as they're coming out of the anesthesia, maybe they assault one of the medical staff members. There was no intent to assault someone,
right. But
because of their altered state at that time, you know, something happens, right?
Definition, but yeah, maybe right. Not what we all think of when we think of crime and assault, but it's something that you have to address.
Exactly, right? So we don't want to, for lack of a better word, we don't want to fudge those statistics
right. And
say, well, we're not going to press charges for that, so we're not going to count it as an assault. Because at the end of the day, the assault still occurred. Even if there was no intent to harm someone,
right. There
was still someone that suffered some type of injury.
And it's on campus.
Correct.
So it goes into those numbers.
Exactly. So we try very hard to make sure that our statistics accurately represent what happened.
Sure.
We try not to make them, we don't want them to look favorable. We want them to look accurate.
Indeed.
Yeah. And so that's something that's, there's a large number of our assaults specifically are those types of scenarios in which it's a patient in some type of altered mental state that assaults a staff member.
Right.
And we want to collect that data, accurately report it, so then we can assign resources to try to prevent those from happening in the future.
All right. And then in and around campus, as far as assaults, is there any way to kind of tease out some of that data so that people are aware of what's happening just on the street as opposed to in the hospital facilities themselves?
Yeah, you know, so some of that will be in the annual security report that I talked about. But
sure. One
thing that you've probably seen these is the security notices that will come out. So if we have something that's significant with some type of ongoing threat
yes. That
the community needs to be aware of to protect themselves, we send those security notices out to both sides. The process is a little different between medical center employees and university community members, students or staff, whatever that looks like. But we want to make sure that information is getting out to the community. So just like what you're talking about, you know, if there was some type of specific assault on the street that has a different set of circumstances to a patient that was in a altered mental state, that's where you may see those security notices coming out to say, hey, here's this incident that happened, and here are some resources to help protect yourself.
So maybe like via email, or just sometimes I know I see things kind of pop up on the screen, you know, mm-hmm. As we're working on the computers and things like that.
Yeah. So I'm going to diverge for a moment. So,
okay.
Because I think this is an important topic. So
yeah. There's
two different tools that we have to alert the community to threats. We have one that's called AlertVU. And then we have one that's called security notice. And it's very confusing, so I'll try to break it down.
Okay.
When you mention the message popping up on your desktop, that's the AlertVU system.
Okay.
So AlertVU uses various methods to notify the community. So desktop alerts is one of them, phone calls, text messages, emails. If you have the VandySafe app downloaded, it'll do a push notification to your phone. Those are for immediate threats to safety. So something's happening right now, and you as a community member need to take action right now to protect yourself.
Got it.
So that's AlertVU. Security notices will only come through email. That's the only way that they are delivered. And those are for ongoing, but not immediate safety concerns. So it's more of a generalized, like, hey, we saw a pattern of issues and we want the community to know that this pattern exists so that you can protect yourself moving forward.
So we've kind of covered some things about theft and, you know, physical assault and sexual assault, just, you know, ways to be aware of it on campus and just to keep yourself safe. What if you witness someone being assaulted? It's not you, but you see something happen on campus. What might be some steps that you can do to help the victim or just to be able to identify the assailant?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question. One, I want to preface this and say is that we do not expect people to go and intervene necessarily, call us, right. You know, so we can respond to the best of your abilities, help keep the scene and the victim calm, and then, again, report the incident to the police department.
Yes.
Now, I will say that I think there's one important piece here, specifically when we talk about if we saw like an assault or something happen. Our campus is very confusing, and it constantly changes, yes. Right? So something that would be very beneficial for us is when someone calls to report it is to know where you are on the campus. Because you may know that I'm just going to make up a location here. I'm in South Garage. But you may not know that you're on the basement level or second level or first level, whatever. And something that would really help speed up our ability to respond to the scene is to know right. exactly where you are in whatever building or location or structure that you're in or near. So just taking that little bit of extra time to familiarize yourself with the surroundings today before an incident happens so that if something were to happen and you had a call in to report any incident, that you know exactly where you are so that we can get officers to you as fast as possible.
Right. Know the names of the structures.
Yeah.
Just even if you've got your, you know, your track from garage to campus and your building, you know, completely down,
yep.
Pay attention to what things you pass along the way. Or, you know the name of your parking garage. Know that there's, you know, different elevators or whatever that you may take to get to the bottom floor when you get off and then start your journey walking. So all of those things are important just to have those things to report in case that circumstance were to come up. Well, I think that's great. Do you know, can you tell us a little bit about iReports?
Through the VandySafe
yes,
app? Okay,
yes.
Yeah. I'll just talk about VandySafe app a little bit more broadly, but
yeah.
Specifically the iReport is a way that you can report any incident. And it even allows you to take photos and videos that can be submitted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really neat, right? So because,
yeah.
You know, going back to talking about identifying a suspect and what's kind of the best things you could do, take a photo. If
yeah.
You're able to
yeah.
Snap a photo and send it.
iReports?
Yeah.
Bam.
I mean,
there you go.
That makes it very easy.
I know.
I will say for the VandySafe app in general, so the iReport, we can report those things and put attachments on there. It's awesome. But all those features, there's various features in that app, they all go back to a human dispatcher that's on our campus. It's not AI, there's no, you know, robots or anything. It's all human interactions that are happening on the back end of that app. So if you do the virtual walk home in the app, if you do the iReport, if you do the chat feature, any of those things go to an actual human dispatcher sitting on the edge of our campus over there by the football stadium.
Oh my gosh, that's great to know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in this, you know, like gradually more and more AI taking over these sort of things.
Yep.
This is going directly to a human. Somebody
yes.
is aware of what's happening to you if you communicate through the VandySafe app.
Yes.
That's great information. I think they have, like, you can do a blue light call on there as well, right?
Correct, yes. So there's a lot of features in that app. I very highly recommend it. And there's various modalities that you can use to contact us.
Right.
Yeah.
And the blue light call, I guess, it goes straight to a dispatcher.
Correct.
So, you know, if you've got the app, you don't have to be at, like, one of those phones, like an emergency phone. You can do that exactly from your app, wherever you're standing.
Yep.
And you get to a person. And it sounds like there's a lot of folks that already trust this app and have used it and have had success with it. So that just really kind of gives kudos to the app and its abilities to help support people in staying safe, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that you can do like a virtual walk to your car or a friend watch too. So
yep.
Explain a little bit about those types of features.
Yeah. So I think they're really the same feature. It just depends on who's the other end
yes.
watching.
Yes.
So you do the friend watch, it's your friend that's watching you walk. If you do the virtual walk home, again, it goes back, there's a human, real human dispatcher that's on our campus that's watching your location, tracking your phone, and watching you go from point A to point B. So whatever that is. And then it has a feature on there where you can immediately call for assistance if you need something, if something were to occur halfway through the walk.
Okay.
And then it has the ability to also chat with the dispatcher, which again, it's a real human that's answering and typing and responding to those texts. I will say on the topic of the virtual walk home, if you can remember, is to end your walk once you get to your car, because you're suddenly doing 60 miles an hour down the street. And it raises some questions. So it's not the end of the world if you don't, but it would be helpful if you would remember to end your walk once you're at your destination.
Yes, definitely. Just so that you don't get a phone call from the folks that are monitoring your
Absolutely.
Walk, trying to figure out if everything's okay.
Correct, yeah.
I know. We want to have our resources, but we want to use them wisely.
Yes.
And certainly free them up for other folks, too. So that's a great information. Love it. VandySafe app. You can download it on your phone and then, you know, use it at will. I think that kind of rounds out a lot of things about the VandySafe app. Is there anything else that you can think of as far as topics just that you would like to either reemphasize or just put out there, whether it be part of the VandySafe app or just anything as far as VUPD is concerned?
I'm sure there's a lot of, we could probably talk for a while, but I would really like to reiterate my earlier points about making sure that people report incidences to the police department. And I know that sounds simple, and I'm going to call my wife out here just a little bit. Hi, Tricia. She works for neurosurgery at the medical center, you know, and she'll come home every couple months, whatever, and, you know, how was your day? And, oh, we had some real crazy situation with a patient or something. And I say, well, did you call the police department to let them know? Well, no, we didn't want to be a bother. It's like, okay, well, I mean, you're married to me. You know what I do. You know what my job is. This is what we're paid to do is, you know, call us. If there's an incident, call us. And I say that because, so backing up just a little bit. So, you know, my master's degree is in business. So I think about things from an economics perspective and, you know, resource allocation perspective. And as much as I would love to have an infinite budget and, you know, 700 officers to patrol the campus, you know, we don't. And so the reality is that at some level, our resources are limited, just like everybody else's resources across the institution.
Indeed.
So the best way for us to allocate our resources is to have the data to know where to allocate the resources.
Where they serve best.
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, even if it feels minor, letting us know about it, report it to us, and then that way we have the data to make our strategic decisions on where we assign resources. And then even bigger picture, you know, if we think about funding and budgets and whatnot, it may not help today or next week, but as we have more accurate data of what trends we're seeing on campus, we can also increase our budget over the period of years to increase the resources as necessary. But if we don't have the reports and we don't have that data, then we then can't go back and argue that we need XYZ to be increased or make these decisions to assign resources to these locations.
Yes. So report what you're seeing on campus, everyone out there, so that the folks that are working behind the scenes to support you and keep you safe can make the decisions they need to make to do so, is what I'm hearing there.
Yeah, no, spot on. Yeah.
All right. Which is great stuff. I really appreciate you taking the time today. You know, this is certainly supportive to just the health of all of our employees, which is certainly what we value here in the Occupational Health Department. And just talking about, you know, campus safety is such an important topic. I just want to say thanks to everybody out there listening to this podcast. And I do want to give a special shout out to all VUPD workers and traffic control personnel. I know you folks are out there working tirelessly every day on our campus to support all personnel, patients, and visitors coming to and from VUMC. It's a gargantuan mission. And on behalf of the Occupational Health Department, I just want to thank them for their efforts and the welfare of everyone on campus.
Thanks for tuning in to Healthier You by Vanderbilt Health and Wellness. If you are a Vanderbilt University Medical Center faculty or staff member, you can earn credit on your Go for the Gold Wellness Actions log by listening to 2 podcasts during season 1. Simply click the Go for the Gold link in the show notes below to record your participation and stay tuned for future episodes.